This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross. TV producer Aaron Spelling, who died last Friday, will forever be remembered for his enormously popular TV shows.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. And they were each assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
Charlie's Angels is one of the more than 200 shows and movies Aaron Spelling churned out during his career. Our critic at large, John Powers, has these thoughts on why he believes Spelling is important.
Although our politicians might find it hard to believe, what the world loves most about the U.S. isn't really our vaulting ideas of freedom. It's the spirit this freedom imparts to our popular culture. Humor, frivolity, the bearable lightness of being. Unseriousness is the American way. By such a standard, one of our great patriots died last week at age 83. I refer to Aaron Spelling, the Prospero of primetime TV, whose life was a quintessentially American story. The Dallas-born son of a Russian immigrant tailor, Spelling made himself into the most successful TV producer of all time by giving people what they wanted, whether they should want it or not. Charlie's Angels, Fantasy Island, Dynasty, Melrose Place. Because his shows were so often silly, even junky, it was easy to underrate his importance. But as absurd as it may sound, Spelling was a worldwide cultural force on the level of Elvis, Spielberg, or Starbucks. Although I don't know anyone who didn't enjoy some Spelling shows, many people tended to feel superior to them. Because we've all been trained to look down on TV, as if Deadwood isn't better than any Hollywood movie now in our theaters, it became easy to overlook the intelligence behind what Spelling memorably termed his mind candy. Although he did churn out countless hours of dreck, he grasped that TV's seductiveness lies in speed, wit, and disposability. He knew how to pull off unlikely alchemies, turning a zip code into a watchword for glamour, transforming pimps into adorable huggy bears, making Kate Jackson world-renowned as the smart one. He put Andy Warhol on the Love Boat, mass-marketed camp in Dynasty, and he set the template for international youth culture by offering a teen's eye view of life in Beverly Hills 90210. This made him rich, but also a figure of fun. Just as Spelling's work was routinely described as schlock, so the man himself was mocked for parvenu tackiness. As if erecting a monument to his own lack of taste, he built The Manor, a hideous 56,000-square-foot home in West Los Angeles that looks like a McMansion scaled from Mount Olympus, although it's hard to imagine Zeus and Hera insisting on their own private bowling alley. But good taste has never been essential to pop culture brilliance, and it often proves a liability. There's a reason why Charlie's Angels got vastly higher ratings than Masterpiece Theater. Rather than hammer away at supposedly important themes, his shows toyed with the zeitgeist, making hay of 60s rebellion, women's lib, or the contemporary worship of wealth. Shamelessness was part of their allure, and Spelling knew it. Like the Jewish studio moguls of an earlier generation, he started on the outside looking in, and it gave him a killer instinct for what the public likes. And what it likes is what Spelling liked and eventually came to symbolize, all that's gaudy and seductive about Southern California. Sun, skin, money, and just enough safe, non-Manson-level craziness to keep things interesting. As an artistic vision, this may not exactly be Tolstoy, but it's no more childish than May the Force Be With You. And no less potent. Pretty much everyone has been touched, or is that warped, by their own favorite Spelling series. Mine is the first one I ever remember watching, Burke's Law, an early 60s crime romp which, I later learned, was the first of his shows to turn real life into a fantasy island. Gene Barry starred as lady-killing Amos Burke, L.A.'s dapper chief of detectives, who also just happened to be a millionaire, back when that meant you could own a mansion and be chauffeured to crime scenes in your Rolls Royce. As a Midwestern kid, I ate this all up, staying up past my bedtime to revel in the posh settings, cool murders, and naturally, the chicks. Like so many of Spelling's programs, Burke's Law posited a universe stocked with beautiful women whose virtue was as limited as their bodaciousness was infinite. They seemed to enter the room horizontally. although I eventually learned the hard truth that this was not gritty realism. A small part of me never really outgrew it. Somewhere deep inside, I still expect that one day a busty socialite will start purring amorously simply because I've walked through the door. Well, of course you do, I can hear Spelling chuckle from the 90210 of the great beyond. We are such stuff as adolescent dreams are made on. How do you think I got that mansion?
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.